Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, you know, in church circles, in Christian circles, there's often been a lot of talk about how to transform the workplace to make it more godly, I guess, to make it more good, more trustworthy, to make it a place of not just excellence, but also of ethics as well. There's been little talk, however, about how God can use the workplace to transform us. Dr. Scott Ray is Professor of the Philosophy of Religion and Ethics at Biola University in Los Angeles. He's the keynote speaker at the coming Religion in the Public Square conference. It's in Melbourne this coming weekend. The idea that being in business can actually make us more godly was certainly a topic that caught our attention. We thought we better get this guy on to have a bit of a chat before he makes his way out here. Dr. Scott Ray, welcome to Open House.
I appreciate it, Sheridan. It's nice to be with you, and I look forward to being out in Melbourne at the conference, too, next week.
Sure, you'll have a very, very warm welcome. Now, the key idea is that some of the pressures and demands of the business world can actually be kind of a crucible for spiritual formation, as we sometimes call it, or to make us more godly. That's your key idea.
That's correct. Yeah, while at the same time, I recognize that business provides all sorts of temptations to demonstrate a person's lack of virtue. But we don't, that's the thing we talk about all the time, the greed and the materialism and all that. But there's another side to this that, for the Christian who is serious about his or her faith and wants to live it out in the workplace, I think the Bible actually teaches that the workplace is a very powerful arena in which God works to transform ourselves. Now, I think we do. The part of the goal is, as you mentioned, to have spiritual or biblical values have an impact on our workplace. But that's really the discussion really only goes one way. Mm. We don't talk much about how the workplace impacts us. Let me be a little more specific. Mm. Any business person in the last 2 or 3 years has had to deal with an overload of adversity. And the Bible's really clear that God uses adversity of all stripes to shape our character and to mold our faith. So why do we assume that the adversity that we face in business is somehow exempt from the adversity that God uses in general to shape our spiritual lives?
Yes.
I think that's an error that reflects the way we've dichotomized the world between our religious life, which takes place on the weekends, and our workplace life, which takes place during the week.
That's a very good point, actually. If you could comment on that as well. I mean, that's a relatively new development over the last kind of, couple of centuries, really, this kind of dichotomizing of, yes, there's the secular world that I go to work every Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, whatever it is, and then there's the spiritual world, if I have one, the religious world, and that's the Sunday.
Right.
That compartmentalization is actually a relatively new idea in the history of the world, really, isn't it?
That's correct, and it was seen for centuries as a very un-Christian idea, and I think that's the way we need to see it again today. I'll give you an example of how this works. Ray Kroc, who the founder of McDonald's, claimed to be a Christian, and before his death was reported to have said something like this, that my priorities are God first, family second, and McDonald's hamburgers third. But when I go to work on Monday morning, that order reverses.
Hmm.
And I think what he meant by that is this dichotomy. He's got two different sets of rules, two different sets of priorities, one for the workplace, one for private life, and God forbid that the twain ever meet.
Yes.
And that I think, is a deeply un-Christian idea. That it seems to me that if the lordship of Christ over a person's life means anything, it's that you shouldn't compartmentalize not only small blocks, not to mention large blocks of your life, which is what I would call the workplace. That's a huge block of your life.
Yeah.
That what you're really doing is you're compartmentalizing your faith and marginalizing that. My perception, at least in the United States, is that most people in the workplace believe that they have to compartmentalize their lives in order to compete successfully.
Right.
I don't think that's true.
That's often the case, though, for some people who do feel that, because often they're put in positions where they are are called to exaggerate maybe product claims or to hide certain details or something. So you can understand how that kind of idea comes about. How do you think that can be counteracted then when some people do actually face those kinds of pressures in the workplace?
Well, I think there's a couple different ways. One is the recognition that in the long run, good ethics makes for good business. And of course, for somebody who holds to a Christian view of the world, you know, good ethics is important because God highly recommends it. But for even for the person who doesn't live life through the lenses of a Christian worldview, I think you can still make a good argument that in the long run, maybe not in the immediate term, but in the long run, virtuous behavior and good ethics does make a person just as competitive as the person who does not hold those. In fact, I would suggest in the long term that a thriving market system actually requires a fairly high level of virtue among the participants. Think for example about all the transactions that take place every day that are premised on trust. I suggest there are hundreds of millions of transactions that take place every day that are based on trust. Now, if that trust is betrayed or that trust can't be verified, then the business will make adjustments on that. But every time a person makes a credit transaction, there's at least three different parties that are exercising a high degree of trust. In cultures around the world where the trust level among strangers, among non-family members, is low, it's understandable that companies are unwilling to invest in those parts of the world where corruption is high. Those tend to be the places where capital flees the fastest.
Yes, there you are. This is Open House right across the nation. Dr. Scott Ray is with us now, Professor of Philosophy of Religion and Ethics at Talbot Theological Seminary, Biola University, LA. He's going to be a keynote speaker at the Religion in the Public Square Conference coming up in Melbourne this coming weekend. We're talking about how business can actually make you more godly. I guess the pressures of being in this business world can actually be a crucible to actually form spirituality in you. So let's continue to head along those lines, Scott, with some of the more practical ways that might actually happen. You've talked about just the adversity of business, particularly, say, in an economic downturn, how that can actually shape our character. Of course, if we respond well to it. You've just touched on trust there, that business actually requires us to be trustworthy to actually be, in the long run, successful. Give us some other ideas and other ways in which God can use the business world and life in the business world, in the business setting, to make us actually more good, more godly.
Well, I think I'll give you another example of this. Business both requires and nurtures a virtue of service. Any business that's dependent upon repeat customers, which I take it is most of them, has to have a high level of service in order to flourish. It's very clear, especially in today's economy, if you don't serve your customers well, then somebody else is going to. And leaders of companies, if they don't serve their employees well, morale suffers and their employees will find other places to work. This is magnified. The Internet has magnified this, I think, in some remarkable ways because it's so easy now to find alternatives for the various things that you're in business for. A company does not have to look hard to find other suppliers if they're unhappy with the current one they have.
That's right.
If they're not being treated well, not being served well, particularly if they can't trust them. So that would be one. Second, I think we spoke about trust. I think about how frequently, I'd ask your listeners to chew on this a bit, how many of them would go out of their way to do business with people who they trust? I suspect it'd be a considerable number, and I suspect that some, maybe not all, but some might actually be willing to pay slightly higher prices to do business with people that they trust. Conversely, I think, is where this hits home, because I suspect all of your listeners will go out of their way to avoid doing business with people who they do not trust.
Yes.
And so I think there's an element of trust and trustworthiness in the long run that I think is very important.
Yes.
Another one is that the business, I think, nurtures and requires the virtue of persistence and long-suffering and perseverance. Think about the salesperson who goes out day after day, knocking on doors, looking for the next account, to close. Or in some sales organizations, it takes, you may call on this person for a year or two before you ever close a sale with that person. And it takes a high level of persistence and stick-to-itiveness and the ability to keep at it in order to flourish. Business is not a place for people who give up easily.
So we've got adversity, trust, service, persistence. I guess related to persistence would be the whole issue of discipline as well, when you actually do have to keep on going, like you said. That's one virtue that we probably really need to regain in this modern day and age, is actually discipline. We're kind of driven by our emotions or what we feel will be good at the time. We need discipline over the long term.
That's a great observation. I would suggest that a Christian view of the world places the satisfaction of desire in a relatively low place on the priority list.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ability to delay gratification is, I think, a very important spiritual virtue. I mean, if anything, business requires a consistent ability to delay gratification.
Yes.
Instead of the business owner, instead of taking all the profit for himself, reinvest it back in the business and delays the gratification that could come by spending that money himself or herself. The company or the individual that foregoes a high level of debt and grows more slowly but grows more solidly is exercising that kind of discipline, seems to me.
Yes.
Let me give you another one that that as Protestants we might not think as much about, but the Roman Catholics, I think, have been very helpful in this, and that is that they have described the virtues of initiative and innovation and creativity. That's a very big part of what it means to be made in God's image. And that business, particularly the business in a free market system, requires what we might call entrepreneurial traits,
mm-hmm.
As the virtues of character. That's where, at least in the United States, I suspect it's the same in Australia, the small businesses, the entrepreneurs, these are the organizations that create the vast majority of new jobs and provide the vast majority of economic growth.
Yes. All of this actually suggests that God is an initiative-taking God and an entrepreneurial kind of God, doesn't it?
Well, I think that you can glean that from the creation narratives in Genesis 1 and 2.
Mm.
And the human beings being given dominion over creation, I think one part of that is being given the grace and the rationality and the ability to unlock what God has embedded into creation. Sir Brian Griffith, the UK economist and former MP, put it this way, that it's something like this, that in the Dominion Mandate, what God was tasking human beings to do, economists call responsible wealth creation. But that's basically what the Dominion Mandate means.
There you are.
I think he's onto something.
Yes. Well, like we've talked before, this is a fascinating angle to the whole business spirituality discussion, because often it's the other way around. How can we bring spiritual values into what is often seen as an evil place, this evil workplace where it's all about greed and competition and things like that? And you're turning it around and saying, hey, the pressures of business, the very requirements of business, call forth and actually can nurture godly characteristics like adversity, perseverance in adversity, trust, service, creativity, initiative, discipline, and things like that.
That's right.
Well, thanks for joining us, Scott. I really appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to meeting up with you,
Sheridan,
next week.
I look forward to meeting you at the conference.
Absolutely. That's Dr. Scott Ray, Professor of Philosophy of Religion and Ethics at Biola University, Los Angeles. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the Religion in the Public Square Conference in Melbourne. Starts Thursday, goes through to Saturday, organized by the Presbyterian Church. A Google search on Religion in the Public Square, Presbyterian Church, Victoria, will get you all the details.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.